It took almost the entire half hour to clamber down, carefully clipping and unclipping and reclipping safety lines from the high, smooth arch of the materials transport track to the hull. Here, for the first time, Esme could feel through her boot soles a faint lateral tug, another proof that Koss was moving on her own, arguing with the inertia of her former path. They were perhaps two-thirds of the way across the bridge dome from the Special Materials Fabrication Unit, its bulge hiding from them T1 and all but the tip of Specmat. Suddenly, light behind them, a flare that spread into a glow overhead. Esme ducked instinctively and looked up. The materials transport track flared into blinding vapor at its highest point and shed flaming pieces that streamed along a track, revealing their progress.
Let's see. Now we're on the outside of a ship headed for jump and someone's shooting at us. I wonder where the Adventure Cube camera crew is.
On the other escort, of course. That's why they're not shooting at us yet.
I would wonder what else could go wrong, but I don't want to give the universe ideas.
Light flared again, and this time the haze thickened. The rest of the transport track peeled away.
Good tracking, but they'll burn up the power supply if they don't let it go.
Abrupt darkness. Esme blinked, and the stars showed again.
Doing all right, Lieutenant?
Fine, sir. Just trying to remember if there's an airlock access around here somewhere.
Because even if they could survive jump on the outside of the ship, they'd run out of air before they finished. Even a short jump lasted days longer than the air supply in an EVA suit.
That's an idea. Get back in and go for them?
No, sir. Not just the four of us, with only four light weapons. I was thinking just stay in the airlock with the outer hatch cracked so no one can get in it from the inside until we drop out of the jump, then go on.
Might work. We can use suit.
Kosciusko bowled its way into the jump transition with an uncanny slithering lurch and a vibration that ground its way through Esme's boots into her sinuses. The stars were gone. She could see nothing beyond the readouts in her helmet, and they looked very strange indeed. Her comm was silent, as dark a silence as the visible dark around her. The vibration was unhealthy for the ship, for the connection of wing to core, for the stability of the drives themselves. If the drives failed, if they dropped out of FTL at some unmapped point. She clung to her handholds. She had never been that good in theory, and she knew little about FTL flight, except that there was no way to define where and when ships were when they vanished from one jump point and reappeared later, if there had been such a thing as absolute time, which there wasn't. The onboard reckoning might be anywhere from hours to days to, for the longest flight ever recorded, a quarter standard year. Onboard, inside the hull and the FTL shielding, the clocks worked. But the suit timekeeper wasn't keeping time, which meant it wasn't logging the oxygen she breathed, which meant she could run out without even knowing it.
Is it better to know when your oxygen runs out?
Esme shied away from that to a consideration of the suitcom failure. Lights and comm worked fine inside ships in FTL flight. Why not here, if they were inside the shields?
If we aren't inside the shields...
Esme's mind put the sounds together like pieces of a puzzle. It could have been a word slowed down. She nudged the suit controls, damping the sound. At least that worked. But if the suit comms didn't work, they could all get lost. Something bumped the back of her helmet. She turned cautiously. It had to be one of the others. It bumped again.
Radios don't work. Have to touch heads. Who can?
Seska tapped her arm, and she remembered her safety line. Esme switched on her helmet light and watched in amazement as the light reached slowly, slowly, down like the extrusion of a semi-solid adhesive from its tube. When it reached the hull, the edges of the shape it made rippled uneasily, the edges a moiré pattern of odd colors. Unfortunately, it illuminated no helpful markers, nothing to suggest which way an airlock might be.
Suiza!
If the light moved slowly, so might calm, the radio waves distorted by whatever the FTL drive did to space and time. Esme had a sense of waking up from some kindred slowness, as if part of her body were keyed to the velocity of light itself and lagged far behind them.
Here!
She dipped her head. The bar of light from her helmet bent slowly, undulating with the movement. She handed the end of her line to the gloved hand that appeared in the light.
I know someone who would take one look at that and spend the next month in a math trance trying to explain it.
Graphic audio. A movie in your mind.